Hey, this podcast is not kid friendly. So if you don't want your kid to hear about sex and the word shit and all that other stuff, you should probably get them out of the room right now.
Everybody has a secret.
This is Beyond the Secret, an anonymous podcast where I uncover the truth behind people's deepest secrets. My name is Ace Fanning, and I want to know,
what's your secret?
Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. Now, in case you somehow missed it, this is part two of My Mom Has Munchausen. So please make sure that you go back and listen to part one. Because in part one, we kind of just scratched the surface. But in part two, we're really diving in and there are parts of this interview that just break my heart. And there are parts of this interview that give me some hope. And I'm really honored that I get to share this with you guys. Now, I'm not going to waste your guys' time because this is a very long episode and I want to make sure that you hear all of it. So here we go. Going back a little bit, kind of give me a rundown after asthma. Like, I mean, you had asthma for ever until you got pregnant, but or had asthma. What other things came up for you? I know you said the appendix, the tonsils.
Yeah, appendix and tonsils were up. Actually, tonsils was when I was in kindergarten. She convinced a doctor that my sister and I both at the same time needed to have our tonsils removed. And according to my aunt, who is probably like the closest mother figure in my life, like my sister and I weren't really even sick. Like she had told the doctor like, oh, they've gone to urgent care so many times, six times this month for tonsillitis. Like they just can't get over it. Oh, it's another, like they've been sick all year long. And like, we actually had never even been sick. I remember her telling my dad, like the doctor's suggesting that the kids have their tonsils removed just to prevent any sort of further issue. They don't actually need them. And I don't really know why my dad didn't question her, but he was like, okay. And I think it's because you like, you want to believe that like your wife knows what's best going on with the children. And he wasn't at that appointment and like legitimately like lied to surgeons and had our tonsils removed, which everyone, I know tons of people who have their tonsils removed. So I don't want to make it again, like that sounds like it sounds like so dramatic, like, oh, she made us have our tonsils removed. But like, also, they didn't really need to be removed. Maybe they would have eventually, but at five, they didn't.
I understand your dad in that position because like, you know, he's not around a lot at the time. And like you're.
Yeah.
And if my wife came to me and said, hey, our kid is really sick, like, and I'm getting home and hearing this, like, could you imagine if I said to her, are you sure? Or do you think you're making it up? Like,
yeah,
I'm just going to trust her.
Yeah. And I think that truly was, even now, like my dad, like he'll sometimes tiptoe, like when he's talking to my sister and I like, well, maybe you guys went through some stuff that you really didn't need to, like, he'll kind of tiptoe around it. But even now, I think like he can't fully admit like how bad it was or what she did, because I think it would be hard for him to live with. It goes so far back. And so, yeah, he never questioned her. He just thought, okay, let's do this. We had our tonsils removed. I really remember my mom enjoying it, for lack of a better word, because she had like my grandparents come. My sister and I were like laid up on like the same couch on opposite ends. It was this whole thing. I got to do show and tell like when I got back to school. And she was like there telling them all about my surgery. Like she was really involved with it. And again, it felt good to be in her light. Like she's kind of charismatic. So it felt good to be like, oh, she's so proud. I had my tonsils removed. It's really weird. But the same thing, like when I had my appendix removed, I woke her up. My dad was out of town for work and I woke her up in the middle of the night. Like kids do. I was in fourth grade and said, my stomach really hurts. 2 years prior, my sister had her appendix out for legitimate appendicitis, but I woke her up and let her know like, hey, my like my stomach hurts. And she said, okay, well, I'll make an appointment for you in the morning, like for the doctor. Okay. Well, the morning comes and she said, where does it hurt? And I said, it's just my stomach. And she said, is it on your right side? And I said, well, no. And she said, okay, you're just tell the doctor it's on your right side. It's going to be right about here. Like she told me exactly where it was. And then in the car ride to the doctor, she said, he's going to push on your stomach and you're going to tell him it doesn't hurt when he pushes in, but it hurts when he releases. And so, so I did. And that's the crazy thing is in the fourth grade, I had already told her, but it doesn't. And she's like, but you're going to tell him it does. And I said, okay. And so part of you, like, you don't want to confront people in your life about how ugly it was because you're kind of complicit in the lies. Like I knew better in fourth grade and I didn't say anything. And I did tell the doctor that it hurt. And she always told us, like, when they ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, the pain, you need to tell them it's a 10. Even when she would rush us to the hospital, she would say, they're going to ask how hard it is to breathe. You need to tell them it's a 10. I didn't know that I was like taking people's spots in emergency rooms for my mom just to be like, she's having an asthma attack when I really wasn't. And same thing with appendicitis. Like, so I went in and said, it's at a 10, like it hurts so bad, you know, hunched over. And then they say, okay, well, let's send her to the hospital. We'll get an ultrasound and run some tests. Meanwhile, my mom has not called my dad at this time. And cell phones are very much a thing and has not called my dad to tell him any information. And my mom, I can remember the doctor saying like, I mean, it could be that it's inflamed, but right now I really wouldn't want to take it because she's not running a fever. You know, she's coming back that it doesn't really look like enlarged or inflamed, like ready to burst. Like, I think it's just best to watch it. And she specifically told the doctor. And I remember this was one of my first memories of saying like, wow, she's just outright fucking lying. She said, and it is going to hurt someone. Like she's outright lying and it's going to directly affect me. And being really scared, she said, okay, well, her sister just had this surgery 2 years ago at this hospital. Hers almost burst and she didn't have a fever. Like, I think this is a family history. And because of that, and because I think she really was convincing and she's saying it right in front of me, they said, okay. And they had the surgery and she called my dad while I was in surgery. So there was no way for my dad to like fly back home and say like, no, I want to wait. No, I want to have them watch it. Like there was no way. And then when it was removed and they got the test results back, like the surgeon came out and told my dad, like it wasn't even inflamed, but we took it out.
I want to go back on something you said. And it's when you said that you were, you know, complicit with the lies that she would say. And what I want to point out to you is that when we grow up in any sort of environment, there are things that we kind of just accept to be reality. Like on a very simple level, I grew up in a house where like my sisters would take the cheese off of their pizza and I had never even tried cheese on pizza and I just did it. And to this day, I do not eat cheese on my pizza. I always take it off. It's not because I am lactose intolerant, but that wasn't the reason we were doing it. I just have always been under the impression that I don't really like cheese on pizza. That is my truth and my reality, despite the fact that I never really changed it. Like I never experimented with it. You grew up in a home where this behavior was normal, where this was like, I don't want you to think at all that you were, you know, going along with the lies. You were going along with your reality and with the way that you were raised. If we think about it on a deeper level, think about people who are born into, you know, Christian families or any sort of religion. At a young age, we kind of are just told, this is your religion, this is what you believe. And as you get older, you either accept it more or you deny it and move on to something else. Like, this is the same thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want you to, here's the thing. I feel like you, not that you're being easy on your mom, but you're forgiving to her and yet you still kind of hold yourself accountable.
Well, and okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling me out. First of all. No. Yeah. Like I have that, like, I, okay, so my sister and I talk every day, like multiple times a day. And we have this conversation, like we're obviously not over it. We talk about my mom. It dominates almost all of our conversations about like who she is, what we went through, things she said. Sometimes we'll cry. Sometimes we'll just be like, I hate her. Like, I wish she would die. Like, she's making herself sick. And my hope is that she dies. And you have these awful, horrible thoughts. And then flip side of that, it's like, I kind of hold myself accountable because I want someone held accountable because I'm never going to get resolution from my dad because I can't ask that from him. I can't ask him to admit like, you should have left. You should have seen something. You should have been more involved. I'm never going to get that because I don't have the strength to tell him like it all. Like he doesn't know it all. And I don't want to hurt a man in his 60s. Does that make sense? And so you kind of hold yourself accountable because she's still doing this. Like she's still making herself sick. She's still lying about everything. And she just doesn't know. Like she doesn't even know that she's doing it. Like it is so ingrained in who she is that I will never get resolution. I will never get an apology. And I have to be okay with that, which is why sometimes I will say like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, but, because it's I don't know how to move on from it. Because I just really like want a mom figure. And I don't have a dad that I can tell everything to.
Okay. Here's the thing. Maybe you will never get, you know, resolution from them and you'll never get an apology from your mom or from your dad or anything like that. But that doesn't mean that you can blame yourself because while you deserve an apology, absolutely, you deserve an apology. You don't deserve to be held to this standard of, you know, I hope you know that you are literally not to blame for this at all. You do not have a single hand in this. You are 100% a victim of this situation. And none of this is your fault. And to hold yourself accountable. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine yourself as that 5-year-old girl. Imagine her. Imagine what you looked like at 5 years old. And do you blame that girl for what she went through?
No.
Okay.
I didn't even have a say.
That's you. That is you. That little 5-year-old girl is still a part of you. And you cannot blame her for any of this. I would never blame a 5-year-old for, honestly, I don't think I'd blame a 5-year-old for much of anything. And yet that little girl is still a part of you. She's the one who went through all this stuff. You are the one who went through all these things. Like, don't, like, you wouldn't sit here and say to her, like, you know, you could have said something. No, she couldn't say anything.
I think that's like the hard part is like, and why like we don't like tell too many people is because like, if I would have like said, mom's telling me not to blow out the candles to my dad, I think my dad would have just been like, okay, I'm going to take over the doctor's appointments. Like, this is crazy. And sometimes I think like it would have just been that easy. Like we could have just said something, but I just didn't know not to say something. She like would tell you like, you need this medicine. It makes you feel better. And you just take it for value because you're having all these side effects from this medication.
Or you could have said something to a doctor, and who's not to say that like CPS didn't come in? Who's to say that you didn't end up in the foster care system? Like a lot of things could have happened and your life could have been easier had you said something. But again, you could not, like I am telling you, you could not have said anything at 5 years old. And again, growing up with this woman, and she's your primary care person. Like your dad's not really, your dad's working so much, like, you know, and you say she wasn't abusive, but who's to say that like she couldn't have been if you had said something, if you had put her in a situation where she's now mad that you're calling her out for what she's doing.
I did call her out I've called her out only twice in my life, and it has extremely backfired, not only with my dad, but like with my family. My sister had just moved out. She was getting married. And my mom just had like a total nervous breakdown, like told my sister that my grandfather was dying while she was on her honeymoon, and like told her that she had to get like off her cruise ship. And like my grandpa just had a bad case of gas. Like my mom just totally like lost her shit during this time. And I just, for like one of the first times, so this is my high school, like I'm in high school, I call my mom out on some of it. Like, you're just lying. Like, none of this has happened. Like, this isn't true. And my dad confronts her for one of the first times I can remember of like, you're just lying to everyone. This isn't even happening. She left. Like, she said she was moving out. Like, we're going to get a divorce. Like, it was like a really rocky time for my parents. And when she left, she told my aunts, my uncle, my grandmother, and my grandfather that my father and I were having an inappropriate relationship.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you, like, the reason why, like, sometimes I hold myself accountable. And I'm also grateful that, like, I've never confronted her, nor would I want to, because you would think if someone had such a disgusting allegation against my husband, I would actually probably be the first one to call the police on him. Like, I'd be like, if someone has a serious allegation that my husband's having, or like, if I had that allegation that he's having an inappropriate relationship with our daughter, he would be dead. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I would do some, like, the kids can go live with my sister and I will fucking put you in the grave. Like, you're not touching my kid. And my mom's reaction was like, they're having an inappropriate relationship, move out. And like, this is part of, I think, why I say like my mom is enabled by everyone around her, because I received an angry email from my aunt.
Oh my God.
About how you don't interfere in a married couple. My grandmother actually has never even really forgave me for it. She came to my high school graduation, literally watched me walk across the stage and then left. Like, they just, like, they, like, that lie, like my aunt was able to like realize that like something's wrong with her sister as I got older, and as more and more things came out, she realized like that my mom had just made it up. But at that point it was too late, and kind of my mom painted me as some disgusting harlot. And even though, again, like it comes out that like, no, they're not having an inappropriate relationship, obviously, people thought that, like, people thought my dad and I were having a disgusting relationship.
I am so angry for you. I literally can just feel like my blood boiling, because who in their right mind, first of all, and here's the thing, and I think where I've kind of always believed, and now that I'm hearing it, I can't believe, you know, you were saying earlier that this is just kind of how she's been, and she believes these things because this is how it's always been or whatever. If I believed that was happening with my child and my husband, I'm not going to go and run and tell a bunch of people. I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I'm going to protect my child. And fuck,
like, that she even left me there, like that, like a six, like the idea that she would even think like, oh, my 16-year-old daughter wants this. Like, wouldn't you think I was a victim? But instead but that's her. Like, she paints herself always 100% as the victim.
But you know what? Even
so much so that when she came back and my dad forgave her, which is crazy, even when she came back, like, it got to the point where like my sister and I came to the resolution that we will like never confront my mom, because I think to have the last word or the last haha, she would kill herself and like leave a suicide note that it was because of my sister and I. I'm not kidding. Like, she's crazy.
But I also want to say, like, fuck you to your aunt, because you are a fucking adult in this situation. And to come and say to a 16-year-old, you don't interfere with it's not you interfering with a marriage. That's you being molested. That's you being raped. Like, you are not interfering with a marriage. You're not coming between a husband and wife. You are a victim.
Mind you, Yeah. And mind you, like, that wasn't even true. And my dad and her just had gotten an argument because I started questioning like things that she was doing and telling my dad about things that she was doing. And he was like, whoa, okay, hold on. And started watching and realizing like, she's back, like, this woman's just lying, like creating all of this drama for no reason. Like, why? And the second that he kind of got close to be like, why are you acting like this? Why are you doing this? That's when she just tailspinned and just lied. And then blamed it on like a mental breakdown. And then my dad put her and I both in therapy. And to this day, what's so weird about it is, like, mind you, she said all of that horrible stuff. I couldn't even forgive someone if they did that. But mind you, I'm now close to 30 and my dad will still sometimes bring up that time and be like, well, you know, you and your mom had such a volatile relationship. You were such a hard teenager. I mean, you guys remember when you went through therapy. And it's like he blocks out some of the stuff because it's like, it is really hard to live with. And then on the flip side of that, like, thank goodness he blocks out some of that stuff, because like, I think my sister and I would be saddled with my mom if he ever left her. Someone would have to take care of her, and I cannot take care of her.
I am so frustrated though by this constant pointing fingers at you. Like, I cannot stand to hear one more person point a finger at you. You were not a hard teen. And even if, let's say you were going out and you were, you know, shooting up heroin and you were fucking around and you were doing all sorts of stuff when you were a teenager, I'm still not going to blame you because of what you went through. I am shocked that you are how you are right now. I am shocked that you are in a, I'm going to assume, a healthy relationship, marriage, and that you are a mom who can wake up every day and take care of your kids, because a lot of people going through that situation could not. And they are those people who are addicted to drugs, who are addicted to chaos, who are constantly, you know, people don't just end up that way for shits and giggles. They get to that point.
Yeah, I just like, I think I am a good mom. It doesn't come natural. Actually, I find myself a lot wanting to swear at my children. And it's like a vicious cycle of guilt of like, why the fuck do I have to do this? Like, no one did it for me, but I don't want them to have the same issues I have. So I just kind of, you grin and bear it, like fake it till you make it kind of deal. But I think the thing is, it helped not going through it alone. I know that sounds crazy, but like, my sister is going through crazy ass shit too. Like, my mom was putting her through the ringer. My mom has told so many people in our family that my sister's husband is cheating on her, or is probably cheating on her. Like, really, like, I think I'm only semi-normal because I have a dad who sometimes clues in, and the older he's getting and the older my mom's getting, the more he is sometimes checked out, sometimes clued in. My sister and I kind of sometimes think maybe he lets her be sick because he's hoping she'll overdose, which I know is disgusting to think, but sometimes the thought does come. But also, it just helped having my sister, who, like, you weren't alone in it. Like, it was our reality, but it's ours together. And so, like, I'm only semi-normal because of her. Because I have someone who, like, will remind me, like, yeah, this is total shit. Like, this sucks. And she's still lying about us. And she's still making herself sick. And she's still telling family members lies, even about my children, mind you. She's still doing this. And I have a sister who is so strong to just say, like, fuck it. We have to just be nice to her because her and dad are still alive. But, like, we don't have to be her. We can just be our own family.
I'm telling you right now. You're talking about your sister and you're saying, like, you know, I have this person who can say, like, yeah, that was fucked up that we went through that. I'm telling you that every single person who listens to this interview is going to say that was fucked up and you did not deserve any of that. And none of that is normal. None of that is okay. And I hope that, I mean, that brings you some sort of peace to know that this story is going to be out there and No one is on your mom's side.
This is that part that I was talking about in the very beginning when I said, you know, so many people tell me you're like a therapist, you're helping so many people. And I do believe that I'm helping people 100%. But I want you to understand that I am not a professional. I have no training in this, and I'm going to make mistakes. And this is one of those mistakes where, you know, I let my feelings show when maybe they shouldn't have. And I put my opinion in there a little too strong. And I could have easily just edited this entire part out, but I think it's important to, you know, own our mistakes. And I think it's important that you hear this.
We are all hating. Like, I do not know this woman. I do not know her face. I picture her face, and in my head, she's fat because I hate her. And I just, I
think it's hard, though, because, I think it's hard because, like, even hearing you say that, like, I know you don't know her, and I know that that's, like, really, like, horrible things she said, but, like, she's the only mom I'll ever have. And sometimes I hate that. And sometimes I'm comforted by the fact that, like, I have one small thing that some people go their whole lives wanting. Like, at least I've got a crazy ass mom who lies and makes up all these horrible, terrible things. But, like, I know who she is. Like, that's not a blank question mark in my life. Like, but on the flip side of that, like, there's so many things that, like, I just will never have closure for because of who she is too. And so, like, there's so many days where I hate her. And then there's so many days where I need her. I don't know who I am without living with some of this anger. Like, I don't even know if I would like who I am without it. I don't know if I would be the mom I am without it. So I go back and forth between, like, oddly feeling protective of her. And then, like, feeling like I'm damaged and I'm broken.
I mean, number one, thank you for explaining that, because I feel like, holy shit, like, I'm better understanding your situation. But at the same time, I want you to, if you feel like you need to protect her, okay, but I also want you to protect yourself. Yeah. I feel like just talking to you, it's so much of, like, and people won't hear this, but at the very beginning when me and you were talking, you said that you do explain things away a lot. Like, you'll just be like, you know, it wasn't that bad. And it's like, I feel very protective of you now. Like, I want to protect you. I don't want you to deal with that. I don't want this.
I just, like, it. I think the reason I think my sister and I have talked about this at great lengths, because her and I go from, like, I fucking hate that woman, I hope she dies, to, well, like, she's still mom. And if she dies, like, I will still, I don't know what her death looks like. I don't know if I will grieve. I don't know if I will feel like this loss, this void. I don't know if I'll feel relief. Maybe I'll feel it all. But, like, I think some of it's just kind of self-preservation, like, because there are so many days where it's like, yeah, I could just not, like, I could just check out. Like, I could just leave. Not like commit suicide or anything, but, like, I could just go. I could start over. I don't have to be, like, a mom. Like, I struggle with those things too, because I love my kids so much. I hope that comes across. Like, I love them. But there's so many times where it's so hard because it doesn't come natural. And I'm trying really hard at it because I don't want them to have these same conversations I have every day. But there's so many times where it's like, she could have walked away too. Like, she could have just left. Like, she didn't have to do what she did. She doesn't have to do what she's continuing to do, which is, like, run my parents into the ground because of medical expenses and lies and attention. Like, she doesn't have to be doing any of this, but she is. And I don't know.
I want to tell you something. You are 100,000% not your mom. And there is nothing you will never be your mom, and you could never do the things that your mom has done. And the reason that I know that is because talking to you and hearing this, number one, there's still a part of you that is blaming yourself. Your mom she is in the wrong for all of this, and she does not blame herself. That is how I know that you're not your mom. You know, you're going to be a better mom to your kids than she was to you. And yes, I get what you're saying that, you know, who are you without this story? But do not for a second ever think to yourself, I'm not going to be a good mom because of this, or I'm not a good person because of the stuff that she's done, and that you don't deserve apologies. And I would be so curious to know too.
Sorry.
You're okay.
Sorry.
You're okay. Sorry. Don't stop saying sorry. I don't want you to say sorry.
Coming from just like a religious background, like I didn't like really believe it because they just kind of like lied about it all, you know, like behind doors, you knew everything was a lie, but it wasn't. And so there's so many times in my life, like I married like the sweetest man alive. And sometimes I honestly think the only reason we're getting like blessings or like we're doing well is because like I'm just reaping rewards because of him, because like I don't deserve it. But like, because he saddled his cart to my horse, like I get to live this really amazing life, but like I don't actually deserve it. And so hearing you say that, like, first of all, thank you, but sometimes it's hard to believe, but I'm trying to get better because he's incredible, and he'll often say, like, you don't even get it. Like, you're so amazing, but it just doesn't feel like it because there's so many times where, like, I believe in God, but then at the same time, I'm like, is it real? I don't know. Because if God is real, like, why?
What you went through was insane and difficult and ugly. And I feel like there was a really high chance that with what she was doing and the route that you were going, that you could have died. And you could have died from, you know, these medical procedures or this medicine that you're taking. You could have also at some point taken your own life. But God wants you here, and God has a purpose for you. And I hope that you realize that. I hope that you realize, like, your kids, there is no one in this world who could raise your kids. There's no one in this world that your husband could love more than he loves you. And there's no one who could love your husband as much as you love him. And there's no one that your kids would love as much as they love you. Like, you are supposed to be here, and you have a purpose. And you know what? Maybe sometimes with young kids right now, you probably feel like that purpose is carpool and naps and all this other stuff. But I promise you, you have a really big purpose. I'm not saying that your purpose is this podcast interview, but I hope that this podcast interview reaches the right people. I hope that your story reaches people who can identify with it and who can hopefully stop another kid from going through what you went through.
I think it's like important to say too, like, for if someone's listening to this and like someone thinks like us family members, because as this is like, as my sister and I have gotten older, and like honestly, it's only been the last Like, I didn't realize I didn't have asthma until like 5 years ago. Like, and my sister didn't realize about her not being hypoglycemic. I mean, we knew she was lying, right? Like, but you don't realize like the gravity of the lies. Like, even when I knew she lied about my appendix, like I just kind of brushed it aside. Like, I think it's important to like tell people too. Like, my aunt like had even said, like, I mean, I kind of assumed things were bad, but like, I just didn't know how bad, and I didn't really want to rock the boat, and like, you don't want to accuse someone, but it's like, it's really important to speak up, because there's people out there that can't do it for themselves. And if you're a parent and you think like, it's weird because when I go to the doctor with like my kid, or when my spouse goes to the doctor alone, like we're just getting two different reports, like it's okay to insist on like, I want to be there. I want to hear it firsthand, not because they're a liar, but just kind of like, I want to support you, because it's really, I think it's an addiction and they can't help themselves. And like, you have to be there for those people. And you have to be there for like the victims. So if someone is listening, like, and I don't know if they are, like, this is maybe someone's thinking like, this is like over the top. I don't know. But if someone comes to your mind, like they're probably coming to your mind for a reason, and you should like 100% say something and be okay with that. It might backfire and you might lose that person, because they might be hurting someone and it's worth risking it for it. Cause I think if my aunt would have said to my sister and I, like, is this true? Is this happening? If anyone would have just outright asked us, is this true? Is this really going on? Like, so much of our life might be different. And I'm not talking just a little bit. Like, my sister, she is dealing with some really hard stuff, or like the gravity of like, of some of the medication my mom had her on, and like, she can't have children, and there's a good part of that being a part of it, and like her life might be so different, but no one asked.
I don't think that conversation is an easy one by any means, but I would sacrifice every fucking friendship, family relationship, whatever it would cost. I don't care if it meant that I could help someone not go through what you've been through. And I told you, and I don't think I'll keep this part on the podcast, but I told you that there is someone in my life who I'm really worried is doing the same thing. And like, I have spent time, and like you said, if someone's coming to mind, there's probably a reason.
And it's like, just ask, and not just one time, just keep asking. I know that sounds crazy, because it's like, don't try and find something where something's not there. But like, if your child is truly sick, you're not capitalizing on that. You're really trying to help them. You really are. It's not about what you can get in return. It's like, you want what's best for them. You're pushing that they can get better. You're not taking them and hoping that they can get medicine. You know what I mean? Like, so just keep asking. If there's someone in your life that's coming to mind that you think is doing it to themselves or doing it to someone else, you should encourage that someone else go to the doctor with them. You should encourage second opinions, and you should definitely, if the victim is old enough to like talk, and just let them know, like, I'm here 1000%, and I will never judge you if your mom is putting anything, or your parent or whatever is telling you something or making you sick. Like, you can talk to me if you ever question it. Like, you can talk to me about your questions. I won't say anything, but just, if I would have known that there was an option, I might have said something. My sister might have said something. Like, it might have been resolved earlier. My parents might be divorced. I don't know what it looks like, but I think it would be better than being almost 30 and talking and crying to your husband almost every night about it, and questioning what kind of parent you are, and getting nervous and dreading them coming to visit. And I probably need therapy, but it has sucked so much of my life that like, to give it anymore feels like it's too much. So I think it's important that you just continue to ask, because even if they don't at first admit to it, like, years ago when I was pregnant with my first daughter, I was visiting my sister, and not the aunt that I've been talking about, but my dad's sister-in-law, so my dad's brother's wife, reached out to my sister and I actually through Facebook and said, "Hey, I know this is crazy, but does your mom have Munchausen disease?" And we were like, "What?" And it was like the first time we heard about it. And we like literally told this woman that she, like my aunt-in-law or whatever, that she was crazy and that like, no, how dare you talk about my family? But that was the first time that we lifted it up. And even though we defended my mom and like, no, you're wrong. No, she would never do that. No, like you're batshit crazy. Like that was the first time that my sister and I lifted it up and we're like, fuck, my mom has Munchausen's. But we still protected her. So like even just asking and planting the seed is good.
Shit. I have one last question for you. And 100%, like you do not have to answer this. But if you had an opportunity and there would be no consequences from the conversation, what do you feel like you would want to say to your mom?
You know, I don't know. I don't know because I want nothing and I want everything. I want the freedom to walk away from her. I want the freedom to say, we're done. I don't have to see you. I don't have to know you. You don't get to know my kids. Like I wish there was some way that I could be granted that freedom from her, because every time I talk to her, it's a trigger. But I also, as much as I'm like, I don't want anything from you. I just want to be done. Like, and a horrible thing to say is like, I just want you to die. But sometimes that's what I want. But I also, the flip side of that, like, why? She's so fine with making herself sick now. Why couldn't she have just made herself sick? Why did she have to take us long for the ride? Why did she feel like she needed to? Why? Like, I struggle so much with that because I think the truth is like, she wouldn't know the answer. Like, I don't think she would know that what she did was wrong. I don't think she would know why she was compelled and is compelled to lie, because like, it goes beyond just lying about health. Like, she lies about everything. She lied that she was attacked in an elevator in Las Vegas. She lied about having someone break into our backyard. It's like her day cannot be fulfilled without a lie. And I don't understand it. And so I think I want nothing. Like, I want nothing.
Do you have any idea, like, and it'd probably be hard to know the actual truth, but do you have any idea about your mom's childhood?
Yeah, some of it I know from my aunt, and some of it.
Like, does this, not that it makes sense, but is some of this explained because of that?
No, like, my mom will paint like that her dad was like really abusive, that he was like really horribly awful to them. And my aunt will be like, yeah, dad was like so, so strict. And he definitely hit us with a ruler if we slouched in church. And if they were misbehaving, he would make them run laps. He would say, if you have breath to argue, you have breath to run. And they would just, and he would make them run. He also was like manic depressive. I think mental illness runs in her family. Her brother's schizophrenic. My aunt's the only semi-normal one, but my mom has lied so much about her childhood. She once told me that she was date raped and left in a ditch, and like that never happened. She's told everyone, my dad actually believes this, but my sister and I have a hard time believing it, that she was pregnant and threw down a flight of stairs and lost the baby, and my aunt's like, that's so weird because like literally no one ever knew she was pregnant ever. And my mom claims that her mom told her, well, God's punishing you for having premarital sex. And although actually my maternal grandmother might have said that shit, because she, like, not a fan of mine for sure. She's like, she adores my sister. My maternal grandmother has told me before that my sister is her favorite. So she might have actually said that. But my aunt on the flip side of that is like, I mean, I lived with your mom at that time. Like, there's no way she was pregnant. And I definitely don't remember her being in a hospital. Like, none of that happened. But so it's really hard because my aunt's always like, she's always just exaggerated. That's just always been her. I don't know though. Like, so much of it is confusing because my aunt will say no, but she doesn't offer up any other details. And then you just have this woman that from, like, you know, the time I was alive has been lying.
Can I ask you what sort of impact this has had on your relationships with other people?
Oh my God. For one, I'm like really, really skeptical of doctors. And like, there's going to be so many people on your podcast that might kill me for this. So you might want to take this off, and maybe you will too. But like, I don't even get my kids vaccinated. And not because I'm afraid of autism, not because I'm afraid of anything else, but I just like don't trust doctors. I went through 3 unmedicated births, tried home birth, because I just don't trust anyone in the medical field. I just am like, how did you guys not, like, you can't just fucking take an appendix off of someone's word. But they do that. And like, she still is having doctors prescribe medication for no fucking reason. Like, so I have like zero trust, because it's like, this crazy woman that I know is lying, you guys still just feed into it. Like, that's crazy.
No one can judge you for that at all, because we, you know, women have PTSD from being attacked by men, and it makes them skeptical of men. Like, you know, dogs are beaten by their owners, and those dogs attack people who look like their owners after they've, like, I would hope nobody would ever judge you for that, because that is your experience.
It's just like my sister, she, like, everyone, it's not funny, it's, I'm sure it's actually really hurtful to her, but everyone calls her the ice queen. She can compartmentalize what's going on in her life better than anyone I've ever met. Like, she is just like, it is not your time. She was so close with my grandfather, and when he died, she was like, okay, everyone, you need to stop crying. We have things that we need to do. This needs to get done. Like, she was like, I will have a breakdown in private. Like, you don't need to be doing it in front of people. Like, she shows like little to no emotion and or empathy to people, because you just don't believe it. Like, after so long, like, you just are so jaded. Like, okay, fuck, you're in the hospital. Who cares? You know, I'm kind of that way too. Like, I mean, you've heard me cry so many times on this like podcast, but I like literally don't know what to do when people are crying. I've only seen my husband cry like one time, no, two times. And I think one time I told him like, why are you even crying? And was like really aggressive towards him. And the other time I literally offered him sex because I was like, just stop. What is this? And so it's just really like, you kind of, I'm like, we're just, I don't think we're very like being kind takes work from us. And not that we're like, I don't want to say that we're a-holes, but like, you're just kind of jaded. Like, okay, whatever. I don't know too many people that are like, yep, I hope she dies. And like, I don't lose sleep over that. It's just really strange. It just kind of, it bleeds into everything. You question everyone. You think everyone's kind of lying. I like swear I'm a conspiracy theorist because of it, because I just don't take anything like at face value. I think the worst of everyone. My husband is literally a saint. Like, I married Mother Teresa, and he never says a bad thing about anyone, but I will meet someone and with seconds I'm like, fucking hate them. And he's like, whoa, like, you don't even know them. And you just feel that about everyone. Like, everyone's out to get you. Everyone's out to hurt you. Everyone's out to get attention, get money, scheming. And it's like, it's their job to prove to you that they're not, even though you have no right to ask that of them, and they don't need to, but you feel it.
So I think the big thing here is obviously I wanted you to do this podcast because I feel like this is a story that people need to hear. This does happen. And, you know, we hear about Gypsy Rose. She's the one who killed her mom. Well, had a boyfriend kill her mom after she had Munchausen by proxy, and she was in a wheelchair and shaving her head and stuff. But sometimes that story is so big that it's almost impossible for us to wrap our head around it.
Well, and it's hard to like imagine like people like I'm like, okay, so when I heard up about Munchausen by proxy, you look it up and there's like really crazy cases where parents are like, they put their kids in the hospital and they inject stuff into them. And so that's why like, it's like, okay, it wasn't that bad. But on the flip side of that, like people should still recognize that, like, I'm going to assume that like I grew up in what I would consider like a relatively decent household. My dad wasn't like a drug addict. Like he wasn't an alcoholic. He was around when he could be around. He worked really hard. My mom, for all of her crazy, was still at board meetings for schools and packing lunches. Like she still kind of showed up for all those mom activities, cheerleaded things and taught Sunday school. Like she, so I think it's important to realize, like, I think this is actually a lot more common than people think. I think people make themselves sick to get attention. I think people maybe question their kids' health or continue to push on their kids' health, maybe for some attention. Like, I don't think I'm special. Like, I think this probably happens to a lot of people. And even a mild case of it isn't good. Like, there's serious side effects to medication and messing with your health the way that you mess with your health.
People have written me over the time of, you know, me sharing these secrets and the podcast and stuff. And they say to me, this has all kind of made me more jaded to the world and stuff. And that's not what I want. I don't want people to be jaded, but I don't want people to be blind. You know, I want people to open their eyes up and realize that, like, this stuff does happen. And if we realize that, if we just realize that it happens and we open our eyes to it, we potentially could help somebody.
Yeah.
The last thing that I want to say to you and is I'm just sorry. I'm sorry that you had to experience this, and I'm sorry for the long lasting effects that it's had on your life. And I'm sorry that it really, really broke my heart when you said, this is my mom and I hate her, but she's also the only mom I have. And I'm just sorry. Like, I'm sorry for all of it. And I hope you know that I think that you are a great person without even knowing you. From hearing your story, from hearing the things you say, I can tell that you're a great person. And I'm sure that doesn't stick too well. Like, I'm sure when you hear things like that, because of everything you've been through, those things kind of hit you and then they slide right off. But just, I feel like it's worth saying.
Thank you. Like, you're right. Like, you hear it and you're just kind of like, the second you said it, I was immediately, my inner thought was, well, I'm not that great of a person. But I mean, I appreciate it. And like when other people say it, it's like, oh, that's really nice. Like if you know, when you help someone or whatever, but that's not who, like, it's not that it doesn't, thank you for saying it, but like, that's not who I want to hear it from, you know? And not that it doesn't mean you shouldn't say it. I think people should always extend kindness when I definitely didn't do the podcast like to have anyone feel like sorry for me, because like, I really do have a really incredible life. And I recognize that so many people have gone through like worse trauma, like harder things in their life. And I commend them for getting up, because just this part of my life, like, sometimes feels debilitating and it makes me feel like I'm not worthy, or that I was partaking in it, or I'm broken, I'm damaged. It makes you feel like awful. So I can't imagine other things that people have gone through. So
I get that. And I'm going to say this one last time, because I want you to realize, like, I feel like that is a kind of a coping mechanism for what you've been through, but you have to realize that everyone has their own reality. I have literally laid in bed for an entire day crying about my work, about photography, about the stupidest things. And when I do it, I realize that, like, you know what, there's worse things in life, but I'm not going to apologize for it, you know? And yeah, there are people in this world who have suffered a whole lot more than you, and who've definitely suffered a whole lot more than I ever have. I feel like I've lived a very privileged life, but it doesn't discount my story. It doesn't discount your story. And I just don't want you to spend the rest of your life explaining away that, you know, there's people out there who have it worse.
No, you're right. My sister and I say the same thing. Like, after we get done saying it, like, how awful she is and how bad we feel, we're like, but it's not that bad. And then she's like, there we are again, just coping. And she's right. Like, it's, but it, you know, you just, you do it because if not, like, you just feel sad about it all the time. You would think about all the things that you missed out on. So instead you just, like, you just try and, like, refocus that attention somewhere else.
This is almost where this episode ended. But as I was going through and listening back, I really wanted to include this next part. And if for no other reason than just for me, as a reminder as to why I'm doing what I'm doing, and to remind myself, you know, because of the breakdown I had before sharing this, that I'm not using people. That's never my intention. My intention is to help people. And as I was listening back to the very, very end of our call, this is what I heard.
Thank you so much for doing this. I, even when I submitted the secret, I just didn't think, I thought that's kind of all it would be. I was just going to submit the secret and then it would just kind of be out there and it wouldn't just be between my sister and I or my husband and I anymore. It would just kind of be this secret that's out there that a whole bunch of people read and I would feel somehow better about it. And so I kind of surprised myself when I agreed to do the interview. And I think it was good because I think, like I had said, I was writing notes, you know, for it. And I have never done that. Like, I've never kind of written out a timeline. I've never written out everything. And I have like 6 pages of just bullet points, mind you, of things that she has done. And we didn't even like scratch the surface of it. And I, it definitely gave me, I think, throughout this week, like, oh, I have a right to still have issues. I have a right to still feel sad. I have a right to sometimes not want to be touched and to be want to be like left alone. Like, I have a reason to be held or to be told that I'm special. Like, I have a right to do those things. I don't have to justify them away just because it isn't as bad. And so writing it down was kind of shocking. And I wouldn't have written it down if it weren't for this podcast. And I think that was actually one of more of the therapeutic parts of this.
I really wish that I could remember who said this to me, but I remember one of my friends giving me a hard time about the endings of this podcast. They compared them to like 90s Disney family shows where everything kind of gets wrapped up and it has this perfect ending. Like in Full House, when DJ's been doing something bad and Danny Tanner walks into the room and he's like, "Deej, we gotta talk." They have their heart-to-heart moment. They tell each other they love you. They hug and like the screen freezes. That has never been my intention with Beyond the Secret. I'm fully aware that like life doesn't have happy endings, but I think that I just am one of those people, like I try to be positive. And that sounds like a load of bullshit because I'm a very negative person in my own life. But for other people, I try to be optimistic. And it was such a funny thing that I had never really thought about. But that's not really what this ending is. This ending is not sad, but it's a little bit blunt. And not blunt towards the woman in this interview, but blunt to the people who are listening to this interview. And I will say that, you know, Beyond the Secret has a really, really great community around it right now. Everyone has been really amazing and open, and I feel like there's not the judgment that could come from these stories. But I'm kind of preemptively putting this out there because I know that eventually this podcast will grow more, and with it, more types of people will listen to these episodes. And what I want to say is that as a listener of this podcast, you have a job, whether you think that you do or not. That job is to listen to these interviews without judgment. People always tell me when I share these secrets on Instagram, they're like, oh God, like it's too heavy. That's too much for me to read through all those secrets. And I'm just always like, imagine waking up every day with one of those secrets. Every day you wake up, it's right next to you. Every night when you go to sleep, it's snuggled in right beside you. That's a lot. These secrets are really, really heavy. And these people who carry them throughout every single day are tired. And our job as listeners is to never, ever add to that burden. I would go a step further and say that if you are listening to this podcast, your job is to not add, but also to help lift some of that burden off of these people. That's what I want to do. I want people, if they're opening up to me, I want to be able to take just a tiny bit. I can't take all of it. But if I can take just a tiny bit of that burden off of their shoulders and put it on my own, I'm more than happy to do that. Some of you aren't there, and that's okay. But you're not allowed to add to anyone's burden. So here's what I mean. If you are someone who is listening to this, and you're getting stuck on something really, really small, say, for example, the fact that she said she doesn't vaccinate her kids. And she was even scared to share that with me. I left that whole part in there so that you guys could hear that. That is not what we are focusing on. If you were like got to that point and you were paused and you were like, I'm so angry. This is not the fucking podcast for you. I can promise you that. We're not going to get stuck on stupid details like that when we have heard this huge, heavy story from someone. Someone who was gracious enough to open up to us and share with us in hopes of helping some other people. We're not getting stuck on stuff like that. And so if you're in the Facebook group or if you're writing a review, I don't want to see that stuff. Just do not be a part of this community. And like I said, right now, the community around this podcast is amazing, and they're not doing that. But this podcast could end up in the lap of someone else who maybe doesn't fully understand what is the purpose of this podcast. So I'm just letting you know now, if that person is you and you've stumbled upon this podcast and you have a problem with something really, really tiny, we don't care. Because our focus is on helping the people who share these secrets, on trying to lift a burden off of their shoulders. And I think it's really, really important that I say that. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys more than you will ever know for giving me this opportunity to help people, because that's all I want to do. And if you are one of those people who likes to help other people and who wants to lift other people up, then I invite you to come join our closed Facebook group. There is a direct link right in the show notes so that you can join. And if you love the podcast as much as I do, I would appreciate it if you guys would go and leave a review on iTunes, but only if it's a good review. I'm not in a place where I want to read negative reviews. Thank you guys for listening. I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.